Good morning. I want to thank Tim and thank Steve for their service and leading us in worship every Sunday and leading us in song and their time and their effort and their ability to think of songs and to arrange songs and to organize get our men lined up for our services each Sunday. And what a blessing to be led by them, and thank you for your service in that way. And thank you, church, for your participation. Thank you for your singing and your voice that comes from your heart and your love of God as we come together to praise God. You know, that's what we come here to do. We come together to worship, to give our lives as sacrifices to God. You know, our worship, part of our worship is a communication to God and a communication amongst each other. We bow in humble submission to communicate our love for God together. We give our praise and adoration through our song. We communicate our request through both our songs and our prayers. And we come together to hear from God, to hear from the words that are said, hear from the words that are sung, the prayers that are prayed, the scriptures that are read. We are in fellowship with one another. We communicate through song and worship one to another through our voices. We remember the death, burial, and resurrection through the Lord's Supper. We remember Him through the scriptures and through the songs and the prayers that we pray. We commune one with another as we gather around this table. And we remember our Lord, and we remember our covenant to God through baptism. We remember each other's needs as well, and we meet each other's needs, we hope, through this time of encouragement. We come and we give gifts. We give time and effort, and we give money to bless those around us, to bless this body, to join together to serve one another and to serve this community, and all in a part of in service to God and His kingdom. This morning I want us to look at that our worship is to God. First and foremost, it is to God, and it also is for us. It's to God, and it's for us. And one of the great gifts we have as believers when we gather together is we have the gift and the practice of singing. It's so good that we have this tool, this opportunity to come together to participate in song. You know, singing is a great practice for learning. You know, for anyone who's ever taught something, singing, especially teaching children, singing is a great method for that. And think about for learning that, learning information. How much information do you know because of a song? I mean, how do you know the ABCs? You know the ABCs because of a song. I mean, how do you know the days of the week? Probably because of a song you learned in grade school. I mean, how many are good at just sitting down and opening up a passage of anything and just memorizing it? Just sitting there and reading it over and over and over. You know, some are very good at that, but it takes a lot of effort. How about if you think of a story involved with that thing you're supposed to remember? Stories are good at helping us to learn things and to remember. But also songs do that as well, do that very well. And something about what singing does to us and how it involves every part of us. It connects our hearts and souls, our inner being to whatever it is that song is about. It actually encourages our cognitive development. It actually motivates communication and participation. It gets our attention. It gets our focus. And it helps us to learn. But see, singing is a great practice for learning when it comes to our faith and our relationship with God and what we come to understand about Him, and learning about some of the facts of the Bible and the truths of God and the stories of God and His people. Think about some of the facts you know and how you learn them. How about the books of the Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, the letters to the Romans. You know that song? You know that song, and you know the books of the Bible based on, we learn facts because of the songs that we've learned. How about the 12 apostles? Jesus called them one by one. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Good. How long ago did you learn those songs? The power, and when's the last time you sung those songs? The power of song, the power of music, to get that so deep into your hearts, so deep into your soul, so deep in your mind, those truths, these facts that are important for us to draw near to God, to navigate the scriptures, to remember God's people. Think about creation story. Day one, God made light when there was none. How about day four, sun, moon, and stars galore. Remember that? Well, we learned these facts about that. I remember I learned the I am statements from the book of John through a song. The one part's kind of boring. I really had to kind of focus. This was the bass part, but it went, he said I am, John 6, I am, John 8, Jesus said I am, John 10, he said I am, John 11, I am, John 14, Jesus said I am, John 15. That's a lot of memory, but I never forgot it. But the women's part that goes over top of that is actually those statements. And it goes, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate for the sheep, the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, the life, the true vine. And when I learned that song, along with that bass line, see, I had to learn the bass line. I thought, man, that's just a lot of memory, all those numbers. When I learned those numbers, and then I learned those phrases, whenever I want to find those, I know exactly where they are. Well, I might have to sing the whole song, especially if I'm thinking of the true vine, 14, 15. But isn't that what music does? I mean, I learned that song a long time ago. And it's still, I haven't sung that song for a while. Well, I was thinking about it this week, so I kind of brought it back up to my memory again. Well, it helps us to remember. And just this week, Finley and I, on our way driving her out to North Bay Elementary, we crossed that, come back to North Bend sign, and we said the Lord's Prayer, and then I thought of this song as I'm thinking about this lesson. I said, Finley, what's a fruit? And she says, apple. I said, fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. Fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. If you want to be an apple, you might as well forget it. If you know these songs, sing. We're going to do a lot of singing. Okay? This is the practice of singing. Participate if you know. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're going to subliminally learn a lot of things today through these songs. Or you're going to remember what you knew before. Well, we learn these facts from singing. It's a great tool, and it's still a great tool for us today when we want to learn something. I mean, if you want to memorize something, put it to a song. Put it to a song that you know very well. Well, it's good for learning the facts, not just the facts of the Bible, but also the truths of the Bible. Think about the very basic truths of God and our foundation, that God loves us, that Jesus died for us, and that we can have hope in the resurrection. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We know that song, we know that truth because of the song that was sung to us. You know, there's another song, there are a lot of songs that teach us about the gospel story. Here's a song. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Lord, I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Now, here's the gospel. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. That song also has some motion. Sometimes actually a little activity helps you memorize something. You ever learn something, you got to have kind of move to think about it? We started watching that Ellen's Game of Games show, and there's people are trying to think about the answers to these questions, and to get them to remember, they kind of dance around. You know, they say, well, if I maybe you dance around long enough, the answer will rise to your head, you know. But, you know, I've never been very good at, like, movement stuff or rhythm too much, but motion also is a whole another level of learning, right? All to get the actions in there, but that those songs get deep into us, help us to learn some basic truths about God. You know, think about the Bible, the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the Bible. Just that foundational truth that this is God's Word. Well, what about a great song about the hope? Let's sing this song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Singing is a great practice for learning. for a great teaching tool for learning the facts of the Bible, so learning some very truths of God, and also the stories. I mean, think about the stories that we know because of songs. We don't just see this in our faith life, but what about this story? If you know this song, about this story, about this person, and about these families, sing along, okay? Come and listen to a story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground came a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black tea, black gold, Texas tea. Well, you know that one, and maybe one from my generation. I forgot it now. What's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? How does that go? In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days, chilling out back and relaxing by the pool and playing some b-ball outside of the school when a couple of guys, they were up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. Got in one little fight and my mom got scared. Says she's moving with your uncle and auntie in Bel-Air, right? So we know those stories. Hey, someone from your other generations know that one too. I had to dig up the Jed story again, but I was thinking about stories. Now listen to a story about a man named Jed. We know that story. It's in our hearts. It's way down in there because of the power of music. But not just with the, we learn stories about people, and that's what at least this, all of our songs are really stories about people's lives or something about what they think or holding is important and we believe. I mean, it's amazing how many songs we know. Think about how many songs you know. I mean, songs that you know just in your everyday life, but also in your faith. That are very foundational. It's a great practice. It's a great gift that we have, this gift of singing. You know, God's stories were told over and over. They used the power, they used the gift of oral. I mean, they didn't have written copies like we have today of God's Word. They had some, but not everybody could read. And, you know, we are blessed that we live in a very oral society. You know, but the power of repeating and telling the stories over. That's what we see throughout the Old Testament of the people being reminded to tell these stories over and over, because stories have the power for us to remember. And if you look throughout the scriptures, throughout the hundreds and thousands of years of the scriptures, how the stories were told the same. They remember those basic facts and truths because of the power of remembering what God has done and who they are. But also as part of speaking it, we have examples of the Word of God being sung. Moses sang songs in Exodus 15 and it's repeated again in Deuteronomy 32, where he's singing a song of how the people were set free from captivity and how God defeated the enemy Pharaoh and important for that song and that truth of being saved and for being delivered to remember that as they carried on throughout the generations. You know, the written word wasn't really copied over in grand production until about 1450 in the Gutenberg Press, when they were able to reproduce all the scriptures. They made at first about 50 copies at a, you know, pretty successful rate, and people weren't very happy about that. You think, why wouldn't the people be happy about that? Because they were fearful that people wouldn't mishandle God's word or wouldn't be able to teach it properly. But yet, we know we're blessed in this era, in this time of life, you know, the last few hundred years where we live in a very literal society where most everybody can read, but not everyone learns best by reading. Things don't get into our hearts, into our minds. That's why the power of telling stories and the power of music still and the power of singing these stories. You know, think about some of the very foundational stories of God's people that we know because of song. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, right? We learned that song. We know that story because of those songs, or about Jonah, or Daniel's in the lion's den, or David and Goliath, or once there were three wandering Jews, about Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, right? And we learned those stories. If you don't know those stories, I'll teach them to you. You want to know, and you'll have those stories in you forever. You know, one blessing of having worked with kids and being a youth minister so long, I have lots of songs, but man, those songs are awesome. They get into the hearts of those children. They get into your hearts. I hope they do. They get into my heart, and they never go away. why it's so important what's in our heart and the power of music to do that. We also get to learn about the stories of God's people, like I said, because a lot of God's people have written our songs that we sing, and we don't always know their stories. Let me tell you a story of a man who wrote a song that we sing off and on here. There was a great Chicago fire in the Windy City in 1871, and Horatio Spafford, an attorney heavily invested in real estate, lost a fortune. And about that time, his only son, 4-year-old, died of scarlet fever. Horatio ground in his grief and work, pouring himself into rebuilding the city and assisting the 100,000 people who had been left homeless. In 1873, he decided to take his wife and daughters to Europe. Horatio was close to D.L. Moody and Ira Shankey, and he wanted to visit their evangelistic meetings in Europe. And so he decided to take a vacation. As he was on his way to depart and leave with his family, an urgent matter detained him in New York City. He decided to send his wife and his 4 daughters on ahead of him across the sea, and he would catch up with them a few days later. Well, they got in a very luxurious French liner, the Villa de Havre. And he was very confident about this liner and this ship and sent them on their way. Well, in the small hours of November 22nd, 1873, the Villa de Havre glided over the smooth seas, but the ship collided with an iron sailing vessel and sunk that boat. Everybody was lost except for about 47 survivors. The mom was one of those. The wife was one of those. She landed safely in Cardiff, Wales, and she cabled her husband, saved alone. Horatio immediately booked passage to join his wife en route on a cold December night. The captain called him aside and said, "I believe we are now passing over the place where the Villa de Havre went down." Spafford went to his cabin but found it hard to sleep. He said to himself, "It is well. The will of God be done." He later wrote this famous hymn based on those words. And the song we have is, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." We have the song of a story of this man's faith that we sing. So we're blessed to have this practice of singing, this gift of singing, as a teaching tool to learn the facts, to learn truths, and to learn stories about God and His people and their faith. But it also is a great practice of the heart. It's a great practice of the heart to God. You know, singing is something that Jesus participated in, that He practiced, and also His disciples and His followers also practiced as well. You know, Jesus, after giving the instructions and the example, the practice of the Lord's Supper, it says in Mark chapter 14, verse 26, after instituting the Lord's Supper, it says, "When they had sung a hymn, then he had left." And I think about, can you imagine what he sung? Wouldn't we like to have a copy of what it was that Jesus sung? I mean, think after he gave the remembrance of putting such a focus on this feast for us to remember, you know, God and the gift of forgiveness and salvation and all the things that he talked about here, and now he's singing a hymn. Wouldn't you love to have thought known what that song was? As I was walking around this week, I thought about a song that he couldn't have sung because it was written many, many years later. I can imagine him singing something like this. And if you know this song, sing along. "Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore." Can imagine them singing a song like that about the great love of God and the salvation that He brings. Well, Paul in Ephesus, he was speaking, writing a letter to the Ephesian Christians there and speaking about the ethical conduct of believers as living as children of light in a land of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, 18 through 21, it says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And see, he says here, be filled with the Holy Spirit as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it's kind of like three terms actually meaning a lot of the same thing. Saying, sing the psalms of the Old Testament. That's what the early church would have sung, and the believers would have used the psalms as their song book to chant those songs and to sing those songs. Or the hymns. The hymns are just mean songs to God. So sing the psalms. Sing songs to God. Or it says, or spiritual songs. These are other songs. All the songs that we have in our psalm books that aren't psalms are these other songs, the other spiritual songs, or these devotional songs, or these contemporary Christian songs that are still being written about God, or songs to God, to sing songs to God. And he is encouraging this body of believers as they're trying to make sense in their life of coming out of a life of sin and darkness and all kinds of other practices, say, this is something that can help you to keep directed to God. He says you can participate in this. It's a practice of the heart for you to participate in. So he says sing. And to sing is to vocalize, to verbalize. You have to sing. It's to sing out, to use your voices. And you know, singing, just as we've been involved with, it's been so encouraging that it involves all of our being. It involves our heart. And the heart is the very center of ourself. It involves our mind. We have to be thinking about these words. We have to be thinking about the tone that we're going to sing these words. It involves our mind. We have to think about the focus and who it is we're singing and what we're singing about. It involves our bodies. It involves breathing. It involves our mouths and our tongues and our eyes and our ears to listen to others so we can kind of blend and match and involve ourselves with each other. It involves our posture. It involves everything about us. So he says, participate in singing. And it's a blessing we get to do that. And let's continue participating in that. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods, and His hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to Him, the sea as He made it, and His hands form the dry land. It's a great practice of our heart, and we sing. And as we sing, we also make music. We make melody one with another. It's our voices together blending and staying in tune and staying in stride with each other. And it's this harmony that's experienced, this mutual submission as we submit one to another, not wanting anyone else to rise out above anyone else, but it makes us come together. And together we get to share in that message and that communication to God we share together, and that communication one to another. And it directs and it focuses our attention. And so we sing and we make music, and we make music where? In our hearts. And it comes from our hearts. Our words, our speech, our song come from our hearts. Everything that comes out of our mouth, whether we want it to or not, comes from our heart. Even when things slip out, that we go, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Where did that come from? It came from our hearts. So from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So that's why it's important when we come as God's people, what's in our hearts and what we put in, so that when we sing out, we're singing out of a place of praise. In Matthew 15:18, it says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And in James 5:9 and following, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who've been made in God's likeness Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And so it says, get your hearts right. As Paul is instructing these Christians and get real excited about singing out. And yes, it's singing to God and it comes from our heart. But he's now considering what is in your heart matters. And that affects our praise and our witness and our devotion to God. And so we sing and we participate. We make melody one with another. It's in our hearts. And we can't forget who the focus and attention of this singing and this worship is to. It's to the Lord. Singing is a practice that comes out of the heart to the Lord. It is how we express adoration, lifting up God as a holy God and adoring Him and giving attention to define who He is so that from our hearts He hears and sees His glory shining back to Himself. It's where we can express our submission and our confession, where we can sing, on bended knee I come. Lord, purify my heart. Have thine own way, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. It's where we can express our thanksgiving, saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. I will thank you. And so singing is a great practice of the heart that we participate in. We make melody, we make music in our hearts to the Lord. It's where we can express joy and sorrow. It's where we can express our desire to want to be the Lord, so we can make great confessions. Think about a song that really confesses our faith. This is a song that is a lot of times I've heard sung after a baptism that kind of retells the story of what a person has done in baptism. It also reminds us what we've done in our relationship with the Lord. If you know this song, sing it with me. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How He loves me, how I love Him. He is risen, He is coming. Lord, come quickly. Hallelujah. Well, singing is a great practice from the heart, and it's also a great practice for the body. Like I said, worship is what we do. It's to God, but also it's a benefit for us. Singing is our communication to God that informs us, but also it's a communication that blesses others that are there to participate. Singing is a practice we participate in together. Paul goes on in Colossae and the church there and teaching them also now about Christian living, and a very similar passage, message that he gives the Ephesians, but he mentions something a little bit more intimate about how this unifies and brings the body together. Let's read in Colossians chapter 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's a great practice for their body, and it unites us. He says that let Christ rule in your bodies. As these believers are trying to be encouraged on how do we live in this world, in this society that is not for you, he says, well, let Him rule over your hearts. And knowing that He is Lord, let them know that He's got this in control. He's conquered sin. He's conquered death. So let that give you peace. And not just you as individuals, you as a body when you come together. Know that He is covering over all of you. Let Him be unified in His rule over all of you. And then not just let Him rule over, but let Him dwell in your hearts. Let Him sit on the throne of your heart as He's ruling over your heart. And let that give you peace. And let that picture of one body coming together unify you. And from out of that place where God is dwelling and He is ruling and you are at peace in the midst of chaos, sing songs of praise. Let Him know how you adore Him. Let Him know how sinful and unworthy we are and how thankful you are, and ask Him anything in His name. And that may everything we do be done in the name of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. See, it does something to us. It's for the body when we sing. It unites us. It unifies us as one body belonging to Christ. It unifies us in one voice, in one harmony. When we are singing these songs, I'm glad that someone isn't just spouting off singing their own song. You know, you ever been trying to sing a song and then someone decides to sing their own song somewhere else? You know, maybe you're in the house and you're like singing and then someone goes off their own way. It's like you're messing it up. That's not unifying. You know, what song are you singing? Come together, right? It doesn't work. If I said, everyone think of a song right now and let's just sing it. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. It'd be all over the place, wouldn't it? That's not unifying. He says, no, singing unifies us. It brings us together. Think about this song that brings us together. Let's sing it. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God, there is only one King. There is only one body, that is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. It's for us, for the body, because it unites us. It also teaches us and admonishes us. It reminds us. We see the example of others' faith. We remember the truths of God's word. We remember the stories of God. We remember the salvation that it brings. And it's the embodying of the Spirit, the physical presence of God when we come together as the church to sing. So it unites us. It teaches us. It encourages us. It gives us comfort by reminding us of the hope and the truth found in God. I went up to Camp Yamhill a week ago. It was the Expositor's Seminar. Expositor's a fancy word for preacher's retreat. It was a preacher's retreat up at Camp Yamhill. And I went there knowing that, going to get some great lessons and some instruction, be around some other ministers and preachers there. And wasn't really expecting, feeling like I had something that I really was needing, but was going to go and enjoy the time. But it wasn't until the second morning this song was sung, and it really encouraged me because of this. And it was a song that I hadn't sung very much in my life. I knew it. It's simple enough and basic enough, but it actually really encouraged me. And it was the coming together of these believers as one body under Christ, having our hearts filled with Him, and allowing it to now be a blessing to me. If you know this song, sing along. This is the song. It goes, God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share His love. As He told me to, He said, freely, freely, you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. So the practice of singing is for us because it unites us, it teaches us, it encourages us, and it is a great witness to others. It's a great blessing for us as believers to be reminded, but also it's a witness to those who don't believe, power of what that music and those songs can do. I think it's so great when a Christian song makes it into like the top 40 or a top 10. I remember that song, Mercy Me song, I can only imagine, rose to the top of how that was being proclaimed. And I think about, there's many other songs like Amazing Grace, that is a witness to all the world of who God is and what He's done for us. You know, I think about Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They were being imprisoned for following God, for being a witness, for testifying of God's faith in their life. And they were in prison, and they says they were in there and they prayed and they began to sing. Again, I would love to have known what they sung. Just like I would have known what Jesus was singing after he gave the Lord's Supper. Because what they sung, whatever song they sung, man, I would like to have sung that. Maybe we don't know that song because we want to keep our buildings in place. Because after they sung the song that they sang, and maybe they sang Amazing Grace, the jail became shaking, their chains were broken off, and the jailer thinking, oh, I've lost all my prisoners, about ready to give his own life, because that's what a Roman guard would have to do. If you lose the prisoners, someone's got to pay the price. They rush in and they're there. And because of their witness of God, that jailer and all his family came to know the Lord. So whatever we do in word or deed or song, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's a witness to others when we come and sing, to proclaim the name of Christ, to preach the good news. It's a powerful influence to the world. Singing is a great practice for learning about God. It's from the heart. And it's for the body. So where is your heart this morning? Hopefully, by being together here in one heart and one mind, your heart's been full. Your heart's been filled. Heart's been reminded. My prayer for you this morning is that your life song would sing to God. If you're outside of Christ this morning, you haven't called on the Lord, if he's not ruling over your heart, he's not dwelling in your heart, then come and confess him as Lord. Invite him to be your Savior. Come and be baptized into the waters of baptism to have your sins forgiven, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to turn from the life that only leads to death to the life that leads to eternal life, and a life of bearing fruit in God's kingdom, a life of him ruling and giving you that peace. Sing your praise to God this morning. Sing of your faith to God this morning. Open your ears to hear and your hearts to sing to the Lord this morning. If we could be an encouragement to you in any way, come now as we stand and sing.